Hi, Willie. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What about you?
I'm doing fine. Well, today I wanted to talk about the Aurat March, which started a few months ago. And it has raised quite a lot of controversy in Pakistan. So what do you what's your opinion? Well, Aurat March for our viewers is was this a movement by women to raise awareness about the women empowerment issues, about feminism. And what are the problems that they face in different spheres, whether that is political, social, or economic, and how that can be tackled. So it lasted for a few days, but it raised a lot of controversies on social media as well as on TV shows. So what do you think about the controversies which were raised by the Aurat March?
Right, so I think it's a really tightrope that we're walking, because on the one hand you have Pakistani society that is very religious, it's very conservative, and it's patriarchal. And on the other hand, you have this new wave, this new generation, trying to fight for women's rights in the political, social, and economic sphere, right? So you have these old forces fighting with these new forces, and obviously the establishment is established. So it's quite hard to fight something that's been there since the beginning of the country. Moreover, the problem this time was that, so one of the controversies that came up were the slogans used by women during this march, right? Just a word that I would quote from the things I've read about the Aurat March is, like, people referred to them as vulgar because what women, in my opinion, the path that they took wasn't as effective as it could have been. They kind of went to an extreme in a certain sense instead of taking the middle path. So for example, they talked about menstrual issues, and they talked about sexual openness and all of that. And while I agree it's important to talk about these issues and all, but not to the effect that it's so sudden. So what I feel is that people knew the Aurat March was happening, but they had no idea how quickly it was going to progress, in the sense that they were completely caught off guard when they saw this large body of women and men, let's not exclude men from the march as well, who were so openly talking about these issues, where previously Pakistan had largely been dominated by the religious society, right? Which also leads me to another issue that has only recently come up with in Pakistani society. And this is interestingly enough, you can draw a comparison to what's happening in Hollywood, right? With people like Harvey Weinstein, or even who's that comedian? Kevin Spacey. And
Louis C.K.
Right? So they were all accused of, in one way or the other, sexual harassment. In one way or the other. So then you have these direct parallels in Pakistan, where Ali Zafar, who's a very big movie sensation, film star, all of that.
Did you know that there were so many protests when his movie got released last year, Thief and
Really?
Trouble? Yeah, and there was a large number of guys and girls outside the cinemas protesting that this movie should not be aired on screen.
See, but then that's the problem as well. So what I read about Ali Zafar's case...
Well, okay, just for our viewers, briefly, just tell them what the case of Ali Zafar
was. So the case was that he was accused by a fellow artist, Misha Shafi, that she was sexually harassed by Ali Zafar. And this case was then furthered in court, in which Ali Zafar, as far as I've read, Ali Zafar had called Misha Shafi to court to settle this case, but Misha Shafi never showed up. Now, there are many theories going on that it was pressure from Lollywood, which is Pakistan's cinema industry, that Ali Zafar was trying to use his dominant role in Pakistani cinema to, you know, kind of estrange Misha Shafi from the light. And I feel like it might be possible, but at the same time, all of a sudden you have Misha Shafi backing off and not talking about these issues again. The other issue was that Ali Zafar, so Misha Shafi has a brother, Fayruz Shafi, who is a rapper in Pakistan, and Ali Zafar used his role as a prominent film star to remove his music from a Pakistani music streaming website, and this issue did become public later on. So it actually happened. Fayruz Shafi's music, so he removed Misha Shafi's brother's music from this music streaming website. So which kind of gives more strength to the argument that maybe the reason that Misha Shafi was silenced was because of Ali Zafar's clout, right? So maybe that could be one reason. And the most recent case, just a couple of days ago at LUMS, right?
Mm.
Which is Lahore's University of Management Sciences. It's one of Pakistan's biggest universities. It's really elite and it's very liberal in these issues, right? So recently there was a page called Dankpana, which was uncovered. So basically it consisted of 600 members of LUMS, the student body. And they would talk about vulgar things, ranging from, you know, sex to drugs to alcohol and all of that. But particularly, it was very misogynist.
Hmm.
So it was very anti-women in the sense that they talk about fondling women and having sex with them and all.
Hmm.
Somehow, this information was released and some ladies caught up with the information and they were enraged by it. And they had a whole stakeout where they would sit outside the dean's office and the academic affairs office and they wouldn't leave until this issue was resolved.
Hmm.
But then I feel like it's quite interesting because, let's be honest, guys do talk about these kind of things.
Mm.
You can try to paint yourself as a very noble man or an honorable person, but there are some things that guys just talk about when they're with friends and all. And I'm not going to lie, it does consist of drugs, alcohol, sex, and all of that.
Mm.
But it's only a problem when it comes out in the public. So why is it a problem when it comes out in the public, but when you're talking about it in private with your friends, it's completely fine?
Mm.
Take the example of Donald Trump, right? Well, he said, I'm not going to repeat it on this file, but...
Grab her, yeah.
Yeah, grab her by the whatever.
Mm.
See, that's a problem because it went out. But the way he tried to justify it, or people close to Donald Trump, is that guys do talk about it. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he was right, the guys do talk about it, but I'm just saying there is some truth to it.
Mm.
Right? So it's not completely false. Guys do talk about it. And I'm sure girls have their own things they talk about that might not be publicly accepted, but
mm.
it does happen in that little sphere of girls.
Mm.
So
I think that you raise a very, very important point here, which is that where is this distinction between what can be made public and what is supposed to be private? And especially it becomes more convoluted when you talk about societies which are religiously conservative and have a very certain mindset to view these gender relationships. And that's why we see such a huge backlash against the Women's March, which took place in Pakistan. That women, first of all, cannot just go out on street like that. They cannot talk about sex. They cannot talk about their very basic rights, which were breaking the stereotypes which have been established for years now. And another important thing to think about at this point is that there's this shift, that change that is taking place. And there's this certain kind of awareness that is emerging in this in Pakistani's context, right? In women as well as in men. And I would give some credit to social media, right? And social media has played a huge role in creating this sense of awareness. Although we know that these waves of feminism, they emerged in Europe and in the West in the mid 20th century, but then how it has started permeating in different societies, and the kind of feminism that we're seeing in Pakistan is Western inspired, right? And we see very similar kind of placards that they brought out on Women's March, which you would see in the early 20th century, which the women were bringing out in public, right? Like one of the placard that I saw on the Women's March was about Free the Nipple movement, which was taking place in US a few years ago. So it's important to draw these parallels and how this permeation of knowledge is taking place from one place to the other, and it's influencing large number of people to think in a certain way. And the backlash, the people who are reacting towards this, it has two fronts, right? On one level, they're reacting to it that it's because it's breaking their preconceived ideas of how women should act or behave. On the other hand, it's also that they're backlashing because they think it's a propaganda of a liberal secular mindset, and it is only associated with the elite members of the society. And I think there's certain element of truth to that as well, right? When you talk about all of these three movements, whether it's in the entertainment industry, it's in the elite teaching institute in Pakistan, or it's the Aurat March, we see it's all of these women and guys coming out. They all, you know, they belong to the elite class of the society. Now, an important question to ask here is, are they the representatives of the people who are living in the villages, or the problems that women are facing in the villages? Are they talking about the issues that they are facing in those small districts or in the suburbs? And are those women participating in this? Not really, right? So I don't know. It's still a huge question mark whether it's going to have a trickle-down effect on the women living in the other spheres of the society, or whether it's just going to stay within this elite class of the society. So it was an important issue that we tackled, and we thought, me and Willie, both of us, we thought that we'll bring it up with you guys. We are leaving you with an open-ended question, let us know what you think about it, how in societies which are complex, diverse, religiously conservative, how the issue of feminism can be, what is the future of these movements in such societies? And on that note, we'd like to say goodbye. Thank you so much for your time. Woody, any last words?
No, I think we're good.
Thank you so much, Willie, for your time. Yeah. Take care of yourself, and bye-bye.